Well, we are in Milford, Connecticut, at a wonderful house that is going to be even more wonderfuler when we actually finish it. It's only about, what, 17 or 18 years into construction, Charlie? This is Charlie Kreitler, the owner.
Well, I think it's maybe 17 months has been the total process.
But it seems basically like it's been in between the ice ages. And last week, if you were listening, we talked about the fact that you can actually recreate very problematic elements of a house with a little bit of creative thinking. We were able to take two really dangerous stairs, get rid of them, make a new stair, partially punch that stair out to make a little tower. And by the way, in doing that, we had to adhere to all the zoning codes, run through the building department, and we had to make stairs, since they're new, we had to make stairs that fully complied with all the New York State building code, the fire code, all the codes that relate to single-family dwellings in Connecticut. So if you're going to do a stair move, you've got to be very careful not only about how it's structured and all that kind of stuff, but basically all the clearances, tread size, riser size, the way the handrails work, and you need to find also a really good stair subcontractor. But that one stair move, having said all that, that one stair move that we did changed the entire way we thought about the interior of the home. And I can tell you that on an older home, there are two things that really can destroy your creativity. The first is the window patterning. In traditional homes, windows are set 1, 2, 3, 4, regularly spaced around the house. And they can basically make no sense when it comes to the interior of your home. But at the same time, if you destroy that symmetry or that sort of regular patterning, you lose the charm, the appeal of a simple, gracious home like this one is. Then the second thing that really can screw up your creativity are just the existing walls. Both of those things, when you get rid of walls and when you change window patterning, they are very expensive and potentially extremely expensive if they are what are called bearing conditions. If all the load comes down on those walls or loads come down on top of windows, which are holes in walls that carry load, you've got to relocate all that load, and that takes dough. So you've got to really carefully consider where you're taking walls out and where you're putting windows in. And in this house, I think it's safe to say that on the first floor, we took a box that was extremely traditional and made a totally open interior and spent the money to do. If you take a look over here, we've got a steel beam, because the steel, this was flush, meaning its bottom was at the same level as the ceiling. So it could be very, it had to be very shallow. And it takes, you can see, two long spans of floor load come in. And Charlie, how long is this span? This is 16 feet?
Yeah, 16 feet is about right.
16 feet. Now, that's a typical steel beam. That was quite expensive. That's probably, I'm going to guess, $3,000, $4,000 installed, something like that.
I think installed, it was probably toward the lower end of that range. But it was, you know, this was one of our biggest framing costs right there in that one piece.
That one piece, because it took two existing floor planes and slipped a beam up in between. Now, as we walk down through the house, not one, not two, but three major partitions were completely voided out, gone. And they used the miracle of micro-lam beams, which are beams made out of plywood, which are extremely strong, not as expensive. We talked about, we have a dropped beam here. Then we have a flush beam here. You can see how thin it is. That's the more expensive beam. And then we got the longest span I can almost imagine in a house like this, all the way across. We had to drop it a little bit to make it affordable. This goes all the way across to the new stair. So 1, 2, 3 interior walls all gone. And guess what? It faces south. So the entire south facade catches light from morning to the east to obviously sunset to the west. And the light just flies through this place, and it's all backlit by the light from the stair, which we see in front of us. So that was the easy part. It's basically like your home is congested, and you blow the nose of the home, and you can breathe again. So it's a really 21st century space in an antique envelope. But I want to, Charlie, I want you to talk about your wife, because I love her dearly. I want you to talk about how she dealt and why she dealt with the kitchen the way she did, because people love kitchens, and this is really one of the most interesting ways I've imagined a kitchen to be thought of, because it really does work beautifully, or at least it will when it gets built.
My wife is a professional cook, so there's the disclosure. So we spent a lot of time thinking about how a kitchen functions both from a cooking standpoint, from an entertaining standpoint, and from a family lifestyle standpoint. I mean, let's face it, today we no longer have formal dining rooms, and the houses that do tend not to use them. So instead, what we tried to do is we tried to come up with a design where the kitchen is a very functional area, so the stove is very close to the sink, the refrigerator, and the prep area. The prep area is an island, which is also functioning as the primary dining seating. So when we're not entertaining, that's where we're going to eat. When we are entertaining, we have a dining room table out kind of in the center of the house. But what I think made it really unique, and if we'll just walk through the door over here, is we actually incorporated the old kitchen of the house, which was this very small cramped room, into a much larger, newer kitchen. And what we did is we took this old kitchen and turned it into a wraparound pantry, so sort of a U-shaped pantry, which radically increased the storage space.
And what makes it really special is that, you know, the classic thing is you've got a larder, which is a walk-in closet for food. And what really makes this special is it's one continuous passage so that you can actually get to everything from both sides, both the heavy storage area and the other. And one little trick, by the way, we're talking about older homes. This is over a sink. You know, normally you've got double-hung windows in this house, classic double-hung windows from the early 20th century. Well, double-hung windows, when you're trying to reach over a sink to open them, are really a pain in the patootie. But because custom windows are so much easier to fabricate now, we actually made casement windows that open like doors that look just like double-hung windows from the inside and outside, and it worked great.
It's sort of a 21st century spin on a 19th century butler's pantry.
and what's really interesting, by the way, is that we have this is a small house. It's 2,300 square feet. We actually have a front door that addresses that great new stair, and we have a back door where the cars normally park. And one of the most major sort of revelations of the late 20th century was cars, mudrooms, and kitchens all should be set in one simple line. They shouldn't be separated by the entire house like your mom's was, my mom's was, where you walk in to way to the north and you're cooking way to the south. And then when I was talking earlier about windows and where you change them and the loads you have to relocate, well, if we come through here, go through where the kitchen's going to be and where the cooking area is going to be, what's in front of the cooking area, which is inherently far from the south wall, but an entire wall of glass where we have a back, where we have a going out to the backyard, and then a wraparound windows in the corner that's historically not perfect, but it gives tons of light.
It's a huge change from the historically tiny claustrophobic rooms that were here before.
The glass is now in scale with the space. And I have to tell you, the most wonderful thing about doing houses are they deal with a layering upon layering of history, values, money, craft, the essential, I would say, guts of what it is to be a family. Your home can be what you want it to be, but you have to have the courage to be creative. And if you have that, just like the Kreitlers, you can make a very simple, beautiful house yours for the rearing of an entire family.
Duo Dickinson is an architect, author, and the contributing writer in home design for Money Magazine.